There's one thing that we're all looking for right now, and most of us have found it. Most of us have probably discovered at least parts of it. Some of us are still struggling, and we're still looking for this, and we're hoping that maybe by being in church today, or possibly, you know, the carols in the park last night for some of us really helped us find this. But if that didn't do it for you, or you weren't able to come, maybe it's going to be Christmas shopping this week, or maybe Christmas Eve, that time together by candlelight singing Christmas carols, will be where you find this critical, critical element of your holiday celebration, of your Christmas celebration. We're all looking for it. Most of us have found it. Most of us have found at least a part of it. Some of us are still hoping for something to happen this week to kind of kick it into gear for us, and it's our holiday spirit. It's our desire to actually celebrate Christmas at all. It's something that we're all looking, when we were kids, it just kind of happened. It just kind of came. We were like in. Like, you know, after Thanksgiving, if we started seeing Christmas trees come up, it didn't tick us off. We were like excited by that because the holiday spirit was alive and well, and it just kind of happened very, very easily in the excitement of the season. The older we got and the more responsibilities we have, and we're trying to blend work and family, and sometimes the financial stress that can be a very real part of Christmas, and trying to meet the expectations that of the folks that we know and love, and especially our little ones, it's harder to anticipate and to find our holiday spirit. And so, you know, I think honestly, we're trying to find our holiday spirit. For some people, it's setting up the tree. That's what kind of gets that holiday spirit going. For some of us, probably for most of us, it's seeing our children begin to anticipate Christmas, gets that holiday spirit going. For some of us, it's eggnog, especially the eggnog that has like a little nutmeg in it. That kind of gets the holiday spirit kickstarted. For some of us, it's smelling whatever it is that our wives only make at this time of the year, or seeing them buy those ingredients, that kind of helps get our holiday spirit going. For some of us, it's buying gifts, or at least we say it's buying gifts. That's how we justify all the shopping that we're doing right now. For me, honestly, it's probably music. Last night was just, it really helped me find my holiday spirit. Hearing people, most of whom I'd never met before, just singing together. And that really helped me find my holiday spirit. There's a couple of old songs. Michael W. Smith came out with an album in 1989, a Christmas album. And honestly, that album works for me. So does Handel's Messiah. If I listen to Handel's Messiah, like the whole thing, both CDs, I'm in. So music is an important part for me. But we all find our Christmas, we're all looking for our holiday spirit, our Christmas spirit, and we're all a little different. And it's like a gift, because when we feel the power of Christmas, it adds an element of joy to our celebration, and it's really, really sweet. And it's important to us that we find our Christmas spirit, our holiday spirit. We've been talking about the gifts that God gives us leading up to Christmas and going into the new year. The idea is that the gifts that are hidden in that special place in your house, you know, the orders that your spouse has made online, you could go and hack into their email and find their receipts and destroy the surprise of Christmas morning. But because, in general, you're a good person, you're not going to do that. We know that it's a value, it's a tradition to not open the presents early. But when it comes to the things that God has given us, we've been talking about how it is a joy and a blessing. Open those gifts early. Don't wait for the new year to discover the things that God has blessed us with. Open those presents early. Enjoy those presents early. Let's educate ourselves. Let's dig into God's word and find what God has given us. Let's do it now. Let's not wait till Friday. And so we talked about that God gave us the whole planet, the whole world, with all of the systems that make the world work. And we talked about how there's so many things that work without us having to worry or stress about it at all. The tides and the oceans and the spring and the fall and the seasons and all the little creatures above and below and inside the earth. We don't have to maintain or worry about any of that. God, that's just a gift from God to every person who has ever lived. Another gift of God to every person who has ever lived, we talked about this last week, is the birth and arrival of his son, Jesus Christ, God on the planet, God entering his creation, as mysterious as that is. And so we talked about the gift of salvation last week. This morning, we're talking about the third gift that we're going to discuss in our series of four. Next week, we'll conclude with our fourth and final gift that we're going to talk about. This morning, we're talking about the gift of God's presence with those who believe. And by presence, I don't mean the gifts under the tree. I mean his actual presence. The same way that we are present here together this morning, the gift of God's presence in the life of those who believe, who are Christians. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about not the Christmas spirit this morning. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. And in the context of a very brief sermon, I'm only going to be talking for just a few more minutes. There's no way that I can exhaustively deal with in its entirety and unwrap this present, if you will. Just like we couldn't talk about all of the ecosystems on the planet that God has gifted us with, and we can't talk about all the aspects of how God has saved each and every one of us personally and what that means to us, we're not going to be able to jump into everything about the Holy Spirit this morning. But I want you guys to leave this morning with a renewed confidence and assurance and awe of the present that God has given us that we need to open early, and that is understanding his presence in our life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the most powerful analogies or metaphors I've ever heard describing God's presence in our life, if we were to try and think about the Trinity, because we know that there's the Father and there's the Son and there's the Holy Spirit. And even if you've never been in church, or if this is your first Sunday in church in a long time, you have heard of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's very mysterious, the three in one, that God has three personalities and three aspects to his being. It's kind of confusing, and it's difficult to wrap our minds around it. One of the most helpful metaphors that I've ever heard is this, that God the Father is kind of like the sun, the physical sun. He is the source of all heat, light, and warmth for this planet. Jesus Christ is like the sun beams that traverse through the outer darkness of space and actually hit our planet. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is like the heat on your skin. So God the Father is kind of like the sun. He's the source. He's the creator. He's the beginning of all that is. He has sent his son, Jesus Christ, through the darkness that is in our world and even in our own lives, and his actual presence is kind of like the feeling of the sun on your skin. And of course, all metaphors break down at some point, so don't start thinking about suntan lotion and sunblock and, you know, don't do that this morning. But it's a helpful metaphor to try and explain this mystery about God. And so this morning, we're going to kind of jump into the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's like the sun on your skin. It's real. It's personal. It's changing you. You can see the effects that God is having in your life through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about that this morning, because it's the third gift that we're talking about that comes that we need to understand before we go into the new. Don't make any New Year goals until you understand some of the gifts that God has given you, because it's going to change and impact everything. So what do we need to know about the Holy Spirit? First and foremost, for those of us who've been in the church for a while, we understand that God has operated differently through different times in history. Before Jesus Christ came and made the perfect sacrifice for sin, there was only so much he could do on the planet. And so in the Old Testament, if you're going to find the presence of the Holy Spirit, you had to go into the temple. That was the place where the Holy Spirit hung out for most of the time. We have accounts of the Holy Spirit coming and being present with different men and women through the course of the Old Testament, but the story of the Old Testament is that the Holy Spirit comes, moves powerfully through a man or a woman, accomplishes the objective or the goal or whatever God wanted to accomplish at that time, and then the Holy Spirit kind of moved on. And so we have David famously crying out in the book of Psalms, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me," because that was normal. The Holy Spirit kind of came, was amazing, and then kind of moved on. And if you really wanted to find the presence of God at any particular time on the planet before the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. The New Testament understanding is that the church, that individual believers are the temple. And it was this radical concept that now God was present in the life of his believers permanently, that God somehow, you're always in the sun. Wouldn't that be awesome? Some of you are in the sun right now, and it kind of feels nice, but it might be a little distracting. But wouldn't it be nice to always have your own little sunbeam that kind of kept you warm, that gave you assurance that God was powerful and present in your life at all times? This is the message and the part of the good news of the gospel found in the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit is not coming and going anymore to help God accomplish a certain objective. You're the objective. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and reside with those who know Jesus Christ by faith and make a decision of faith. And Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The Spirit's presence was in the temple in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the people are the temple. Look at this verse. Because the church in Corinth were nutcases. They were crazy. They had made professions of faith, but they were still engaged in some very evil and crazy and ungodly behavior. And Paul is kind of saying in this passage, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Therefore, don't be involved in all these evil behaviors. God's power and pure presence is living inside of you just like it used to live in the temple. Therefore, don't muddy up the temple. Don't do all this stuff that is going to impede God's work in your life because you're cluttering up the temple. So do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? So in the Old Testament, the Spirit is present in the temple, the physical temple in Jerusalem. In the New Testament, the radical teaching is you're the temple. This is where the power of God can always be found. It's like your own little personal sunbeam. You can always feel the effects of God's power in your life because his Spirit is with those who believe, and he's not going anywhere. And now, there's been some confusion about this teaching, and it's important to jump into the Scripture and to see what the Bible says about when does the Holy Spirit come and reside with a person who is a Christian. Is it something that happens before they become a Christian? Is it something at the moment of salvation? Or is it something that happens subsequent to or after salvation at some point when they try hard enough and earn it? And so there's been a number of different teachings, and the confusion is perfectly understandable, but I want to jump into the Scripture and go through some passages very quickly so that this morning, the point is you will leave with absolute assurance and confidence with what the Scripture says in this very, very important present, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit personal in the life of a believer. So let's start with the words of Jesus himself found in the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Here's what Jesus himself says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word, if you actually look into it in the Greek, translated helper, is one who comes alongside. You're picking up a heavy wheelbarrow, or you're picking up a heavy piece of wood, and you can't do it by yourself. The one that comes alongside, or you're trying to walk up the stairs to come to church, and you have a baby in a car seat in a diaper bag, and your worthless husband is doing nothing in the parking lot. And you say, hey, and then he comes and he takes the diaper bag. It's the same word. Sort of. One who comes alongside to help you carry something that you can't carry by yourself. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. It's an incredible promise. I mean, we could spend the whole rest of our time together this morning talking about this verse right here, but I want to focus in on this idea of and really try and help you come to a sense of peace and assurance about this question. So how do we know that God is present through the power of his Holy Spirit in my life? What do I have to do? So I want to key in on this first word where Jesus says, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father and then the Helper will come. And so one of the questions we have to ask ourselves this morning is, do I love him? Do I love him, and is it evident in how I'm keeping his commandments? Am I trying at all? Am I trying to live a life of repentance? And so the first question we have to ask ourselves is do we love him? And for some of us this morning, it's very comforting and assuring because I do. I do love him. I've seen God work so powerfully through my life, and I've made a decision of faith. And, you know, not every day is perfect. Not every day is Sunday. And I'm not always feeling God's presence the way I'd like to, but I do love him. And he is present in my life. And I do desire to live a life of repentance. And if God were to show me right now something that I need to turn from, I would begin to take steps to do that because I want to obey him. For others of us, we're like, I'm not really sure I ever made that decision. You know, I'm not really sure that that describes me. And so it's helpful. And so for those of us who love him, then Jesus has sent his helper. That's what this passage is teaching. Let's keep going. Paul teaches in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. You, however, are not worldly, but rather heavenly, is another way of thinking about that. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, that's what we kind of like to know. Does the Spirit of God dwell in us, and how does that happen? Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Okay. So what's the key thought here? Do I belong to him? Because if I belong to Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of Christ is mine. And I can have full assurance that God is present in my life. And what we're not going to try and do this morning is rely on our feelings, because just like the Christmas spirit, our feelings kind of come and go, and it depends on whether or not Amy Grant is singing on the radio. But we're looking for something a little bit more solid this morning. We're looking for assurance, so we have to start with God's word, God's truth, ask a couple questions of ourselves, and then kind of let our feelings sort themselves out. And so the first question was, do we love him? Do I love him? Am I seeking to obey him? Another question we can ask ourselves is, do I belong to him? Is he mine? Am I his? And that's just a simple declaration of faith. That's just a simple prayer. And many of us have prayed that prayer and asked the Lord to save us and to keep us safe and to lead us in the path of repentance and righteousness. And so it's another helpful question. Could I say this morning that I do belong to Jesus Christ? Because if I belong to Jesus Christ, according to this passage, then his Spirit is with me. Ephesians chapter 1:13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And if it's helpful, write these verses down and go back and take a look at them this week and read their full context as well, because what I'm not doing is taking the time to go into the full context, which is also very helpful and encouraging. And normally that's how we will move through the text. River Church, normally on a Sunday, we go through a text and read the whole thing and kind of take a look at it. For Christmas, special treat, we're kind of doing a sermon more by subject matter. And so I am taking these scriptures out of context. And so you might want to read the full context earlier this week, especially this one, because the next few verses are really, really encouraging too. And so the idea here in this verse that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1:13 is, have I heard the word of truth? Have I heard the word of truth? Do I know what the gospel is? That I'm a sinner, that I have done things that have displeased myself and my family and God, and that I need forgiveness, and if I could grant myself forgiveness, then I would forgive myself and be happy, and I've tried that, but it hasn't worked. And so sometimes I use other things to help me feel better about myself and improve my self-esteem, but the real answer is dealing with my sin. And so if I am going to deal with my sin, I need a Savior. That's the gospel of truth. That's the word of truth. Have I heard that? Is that even something that I'm aware of? And then if I've heard it, have I believed it? Have I placed my faith in Jesus Christ? Do I believe him? Do I believe? And God, we took a look at this last week, as evidence that Jesus Christ was God-man who dealt with our sin perfectly, God raised him from the dead, the first one to ever do that. And those of us, the Bible teaches, that have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, that we too will be raised just like Jesus was. So have I heard the word of truth? Have I placed my faith in Jesus? Have I believed in him? Because if I did, I was sealed. I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. God's present in my life now, and it's never going away. It's perfectly sealed. Christians are canned. Christians are canned. It's like a cell in a honey hive. That stuff can stay fresh for thousands of years. Those bees know what they're about. That honey is sealed at the perfect moisture to keep that honey fresh for a really long time. When a person hears the gospel of truth and humbly places their faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit cans you, seals you, caps you. You're fresh forever. And not like the way I was fresh when I was a boy. I mean fresh in a good way, fresh in a happy fresh. My brother's looking at me, he's like, yeah, you were fresh too. You were. You can. He's sitting behind the curtain. Now he's going to hide behind the curtain. Yeah, we're capped, we're sealed, we're fresh. The Holy Spirit preserves us for eternity from the moment of salvation. This is what the scripture says. And so I want you to have full confidence in what the Bible says about the presence of God in our lives. And so the question is, well, if that's the case from the moment of salvation, you're telling me things that I already know. You're telling me things that I've already heard. you're reading verses that I'm familiar with, but the problem is like my holiday spirit, like my Christmas spirit, sometimes I'm not always feeling it. Sometimes I act in ways that do not look, sound, or feel like I am filled with God's presence. Sometimes it feels like I'm living in the shade. Sometimes it feels like there is some sunblock in my life. So what's up with that? If God is present in my life, why is it that at some points I really do feel God's presence? Like last night, singing Christmas carols with perfect strangers, that was awesome. That was a God moment. This morning in worship, that was awesome. That was a God moment. Looking at God's words, you know, we can begin to sense God's presence in our life, but we don't always feel that way. And so what is the biblical response? What are we supposed to do? And the biblical response is we need to be baptized. We need to be baptized. And I also understand there's a lot of confusion about this idea too. But the long story short is that if you look back into the New Testament scriptures, and I don't have this one on the screen, but if it's helpful to you, write it down. Acts chapter 2, verse 39 is probably the home run passage that details what I'm about to describe to you. From the first century perspective, an awful lot happened at the moment of salvation. People are hearing the word of truth. They're responding in faith. They're asking Jesus to save them from their sins. They're beginning to live a life of repentance. They're physically baptized, and they're spiritually baptized all at the same time. And Acts chapter 2, verse 39 kind of talks about that. It's Peter's first big sermon to the New Testament church. And if you look at that one verse, you can see all of these elements coming together in one verse. And it sounds like it's all happening at the same time, because it kind of was. You see people responding to God's word and being physically baptized right away, even though they haven't really even begun to live a life of repentance. And you're beginning to see people experience the power of God in unusual and powerful ways through his presence, through a baptism of the Holy Spirit, right away. And so what do we need to do is we need to be baptized. And the question is, well, who are the folks that need to be baptized? The ones who place their faith in Jesus Christ. The ones who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ need to be physically baptized. And what we see in the scripture is that there's this sealing, this spiritual baptism that takes place at the same time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Baptisms, both physical and spiritual, follow belief. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. He's talking about the church. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. It doesn't matter what our backstory was or is. It doesn't matter about our backstory. Whether we are come from a family of faith or we don't come from a family of faith, where we come from a family of bondage or we don't come from a family of bondage, the bottom line is baptisms, spiritual and physical, follow belief. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one spirit. We've all been spiritually baptized. Those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we've had a moment of belief followed by a lifestyle of repentance results in two baptisms, a physical and a spiritual baptism. This is what we see in the New Testament. So in response to what we've learned about the Holy Spirit and his presence in our lives from the moment of salvation, the correct biblical response is baptism, physical and spiritual. And when you look in the New Testament, it all kind of happens on the same day. It all happens very, very close together. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's actually the model that we see in Scripture. And so the big issue with, well, how come I don't always feel God's presence in my life? I love this idea, and I have to give credit where credit is due. This comes from Pastor Fred, the guy that I worked with for over 10 years at High Point Church. I love his teaching on this matter. He says the simple reason why we don't always feel like we are filled with God's presence in our life is because we leak. We leak. It's just that simple. It's not that God isn't present in our lives. It's that we are imperfect vessels. In the cup of our life, there are holes. Some of those holes are near the rim so that when we go to take a drink, it just slobbers all over the place. And we have to tip that cup, try a little harder to get a drink. Some of us, the holes in our cup are kind of halfway down that cup. And so there is God's presence in our life, but because of the sin in our life, we've got to tip that thing almost upside down just to get a little drink, just to feel the presence of God. Some of us have holes in the bottom of our cup. And as fast as God is pouring his presence into our life, it's leaking out all over the place. We leak. So it's not a question of whether or not God's present in our life. The scripture clearly teaches that from the moment of salvation, we are sealed, we are kept safe, we are preserved by the power of God in our life. The sun is shining. It's coming through the darkness of our life, and it's hitting our skin. The question is, where are these holes that are in our, we leak a little bit. This is why there's a command in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. People say all the time, well, you know, if God was present in our life all the time, why is there this verse? This is why there is this verse here, because we are imperfect vessels and we leak. Paul commands the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine. Don't be controlled with wine. Don't be controlled with our drug or substance of choice, but be filled with the Spirit. Anything that we choose to fill our cup with that's other than the personal presence of God's power as found in the Holy Spirit is going to make a hole in our cup. Anything other than God's presence in our lives is going to make a hole in our cup. And so when we fill ourselves with our substance of choice, wine or food or certain relationships, they can all be measures and means of trying to make us feel a certain way. But what Paul says is don't be controlled by any of that stuff. Be filled. He commands us. Paul understands the New Testament clearly teaches that we leak a little bit. And so we do need to seek God's presence in our life, even though he is present in the life of a believer from the moment of salvation. And so this morning we have the opportunity to ask ourselves a couple of important questions. Do we love him? Do we belong to him? Are we obedient to him? And we need to wrestle with those questions. And if we answer those questions and say, yeah, I do love him, I do belong to him, I am seeking a life of obedience, then the good news this morning is that the Spirit of God is present in your life. He has kept you, preserved you, protected you. You will be fresh for eternity. The challenge this morning is to fill our lives more and more with God's presence because we are imperfect vessels. We leak a little bit. And the encouraging passage this morning that I'd like to conclude with is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus tells this story, basically. He says, once upon a time, this guy, he was a bad dad. You know, he had moments where he was a bad dad. Which of you who has a son who asks for a fish will hand him a snake? Who of you who has a son or a daughter who asks for a piece of bread will give them a rock? Hey, Dad, I'm a little hungry. Can I have a fish? Here's a nice snake. Can I have a piece of bread? How about a rock? Chew on that, kiddo. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you've been obsessed this whole past week with getting good gifts for your children. All of us have. All of us are consumed with this thought. We want to give good gifts to our children. If us being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more then will God send the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, why do we have to ask him for the presence of the Holy Spirit? Because we leak. And the answer is yes, because as we sang about this morning, he is a good father. If your child is out trying to fix the lawnmower and asks you for a tool, the tool will be provided, along with blessings above and beyond the tool. If your child is trying to vacuum the living room and they're asking for the vacuum or maybe for to help to clean the filter in the vacuum so that they can be better at vacuuming? The answer is yes. And we're evil. The scripture is we leak. And so how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those of us who ask him? Because the reality is this morning, we leak a little bit. And so I want you to leave this morning with full confidence that for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God is with you. Emmanuel. It's like the sun on your skin. It's always there. God's presence has preserved you for eternity. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Go back and take a look at those scriptures and the context surrounding them. you will be humbled and amazed at the present that God has given you by his actual presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. And also the challenge that we leak. And so it's okay this morning to cry out that, God, would you be more present in my life? Will you show me how I can be better filled by your presence and have greater assurance of your presence with me? That's a wonderful, beautiful prayer, not because we doubt that he is with us at all, but because we realize that we are imperfect vessels. So once upon a time, a little baby was born, and this story can be found in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, and Luke chapter 3. Because the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit comes with the child. God's presence comes with the child. If you read the Christmas story according to Luke, in Luke chapter 1, 2, and 3, every major character has an experience with the power of the Holy Spirit because Christ is coming. And when Jesus the Messiah comes, he comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah received words of knowledge and wisdom and was judged because he ignored what the Holy Spirit was saying in his life. He couldn't talk until his son was born. Mary, the child, the girl, more than likely the teenager, received the words, and the power of the Holy Spirit overcame her doubts and her fears, and she wrote a song and began to sing and to worship in the power of the Holy Spirit. She went to go visit her auntie, who was John the Baptist's mom. And as the second she walked into the room, the power of the Holy Spirit came over Elizabeth and made her baby jump. And Elizabeth was filled with the joy of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was born, and the angels sent a message to the shepherds. They were overwhelmed with the fear of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they went to go see the Christ child. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to be dedicated in the temple. And there was an old guy there waiting to die, but he'd been promised, "You will not die until you see my provision for the nation of Israel and the world." And the baby came into the temple, and this man began to sing and to pray and was consumed with the power of the Holy Spirit. An old lady was living in the temple too, Anna. She was widowed at a young age, and so she lived in the temple. She too saw the Christ child and was moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because why? When we seek Jesus, we find the power of the Holy Spirit. He comes in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is ours this morning. So some of us need to answer that question: do I love him? Do I belong to him? Am I seeking him? And we need to humble ourselves and pray a very simple prayer and say, "Yes, I will turn from the things that I know that I need to turn from, so that you can save me and preserve me and cap me." That sounds like something I want. Keep me fresh for eternity. The rest of us this morning, we probably just need to say, "Father, fill me again because I leak. Would you point out those areas in my cup that are a little bit leaky and seal those more and more completely through the power of your Holy Spirit, because I desire to serve you and I do want the joy of this season. And I realize that when the Christ child comes, so does the presence of his Holy Spirit." So I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to stand and we're going to sing Merry Christmas. That's good news, huh? That's good stuff. And I know I threw a lot of scripture at you, and I hope you're able to take some time this week and review it for yourselves, because it is a gift. Let me pray with you and for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have blessed us with, this planet and this place where we're able to find you and seek you, and all of the evidence of your goodness and everything that you do for us that we don't even have to worry about. Thank you for the blessing of your Son, because we can prove to a point in history where God was on the planet. The ultimate definitive proof that you are and that you care is that you came and that you died and you rose again. And Father, the ever-living proof that goes on for as long as we're allowed to populate this planet is your presence found in those of us who have turned in faith to you. Father, we leak. For those of us who need salvation this morning, we turn from our sins and we turn to you and say, "Yes, please, we want to be sealed and preserved and kept fresh by the power of your Holy Spirit." And for those of us who have made decisions of faith, fill us again. Fill us some more. Because we do want your presence and your Spirit to be poured out of our lives, but we want it to be intentional and not haphazard through the gaps in our lives that are there by sin. And so, Father, we can't think of a better way to celebrate the arrival of your Son at Christmas than by saying, "Come in power through the presence of your Holy Spirit." We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.